reading to you from the sixth chapter of the book of John, and with the eighth chapter and the 26th verse. Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because of you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you, for on him the Father, even God, has set his seal." Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach. Friends, I got to share something with you. My blood sugar is coming down to normal. And I want to thank you precious people who prayed for my blood sugar. I want to thank you for praying for me and my wife and my New Grace Quartet. It's such a joy to go to prison and tell those men and women about this wonderful Christ. Listen, I'll be with you for a half hour tonight. I just wish you'd kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea, or maybe you want some lemonade tonight. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Precious Lord, I pray that you will bless this message to somebody's heart tonight. I know, Lord, there's a lot of people who are standing back and waiting when all the time they've been called of God to go out and share this wonderful message of hope. So, Lord, speak to that man, that woman, that boy, that girl, and above all, Lord, I pray that you will save that sinner that's on the road to hell tonight. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. If you have those Bibles with you, turn with me, dear friends, to the 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and the 26th verse. "For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world, and the despised. God has chosen the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God, but by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that just as it is written, let him who boast in the Lord." Oh, friends, tonight, label this God calling. You see, according to what we just read, God still calls people into the ministry. Not necessarily the preaching ministry, but the witnessing ministry. Every born-again person has a job. I don't care how unimportant you think you are. I don't care how uneducated you think you are or how ugly you are. I'm concerned about you doing what God has called every believer to do. Now, he called Adam and Eve after the fall. But you know what they'd done? They'd went out and they'd sinned. They were disobedient unto the Lord, and they partook of the fruit that he told them not to do, but they did it. And because of their disobedience, they were cast forth out of that beautiful garden. Oh my, what a shame. He called Noah in a violent age. You know what? Every time I read this story on Noah, I just sit there and shake my head. How in the world did he build that huge ark without a chainsaw, without electric drills? But he did build it. Why? because God ordained that he was to build it. Now, Noah worked day and night. And he'd work all day long, him and his sons, and then he'd go out and he'd preach. This went on for almost 100 years. People said, that poor old Noah, bless his heart, he's been out in the sun too long. He's building something out there he calls an ark in the middle of desert where it's never rained, and all of a sudden he tells us that the earth is going to be destroyed by water. We don't believe it. So what did they do? They went back to their leaders and their spiritual guides and asked them. They said, oh, he's just a sick old man. Hey, a lot of people call me a sick old man, but they can call me sick if they want. If as long as I can tell people about Jesus, I'll do what I can do. But friends, he does call people today. He calls people to salvation. Today is the day of salvation. You say, well, Cecil, you know what? I want to be a Christian, but not now. Just like this best friend I had in high school. Him and I were the best friends all through high school. And after I got converted to Christ, I went to my hometown to sought him out, especially because I wanted to tell him about Jesus. He sat there in his home drunk, and he said, Cecil, I want to be a Christian someday, but not now. Man, I'm still young. I'm only in my 30s. I'm a superintendent on a, I've got a good job. I bought some property. I've invested my money wisely. And he really honestly believed that someday he would have a chance to put his trust in Jesus. That is a terrible, stupid thing to do. Guess what happened? He was killed by a tree limb when he was falling a big pine tree. I preached his funeral, and I can still see his face. He looked like he was 100 years old. And we were the same age. Oh, sin takes a toll on your looks, too. Well, see, God calls people to service. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. He was called. Hey, listen, I was just called. You know, the man had the gall to ask me one time. I was having some problems in my third church. I was having some problems. I had a bunch of people that wanted to live in the world and be a part of it. And I tried to point out from the Word of God that you got to be separate, thus saith the Lord. Nonetheless, this preacher, this well-known preacher, used to be a cowboy, you know, used to ride bulls. And he thought he was pretty sharp. And he came to me and he said, Cecil, let me ask you, are you sure that you're called to preach? I said, let me ask you one now. Can you know that you're saved? He said, absolutely. I said, then you just answered your question. Because I know I'm saved. And I know I'm called. Oh, I don't understand it. Don't get me wrong. Boy, God could have picked a lot of people in our church to call to preach, but he picked me. And I said, I'd do it. Oh, I sure thank him, for he knew that I didn't know my left arm from my right arm. He knew that. He knew I wasn't the best looking man in the world, and he knew I was broke. Boy, oh boy, I was broke. The Bible said God calls the foolish. He calls the foolish things of the world to confuse the wise. You know, there's nothing any more stupid than an alcoholic or a drug addict. But you know, I know a lot of alcoholics and a lot of drug addicts that God has called to preach who are doing a fantastic job today. You know why? Because we were delivered from alcoholism. We were delivered from drug addiction. So we knew that he was who he said he was. See, a lot of people don't believe that God can deliver. You know what? Friends, I got a call one night from a lady in this particular far-out church. She knew, said, well, you're a converted alcoholic. I said, that's correct. She said, I wish you'd come down to our church and lay hands on these alcoholics and deliver them. I said, ma'am, I don't know what you're talking about. said, I thought you said you were delivered. I said, yes, but God delivered me, not man. Me laying hands on that guy is not going to save him. He's not going to deliver him from alcohol. That has to come from God Almighty, from above. He has to repent. Why, if that's the case, I'd be running around laying hands on everybody and getting all the drunks off them booze. But that's not the way it works. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that does that. He called old foolish Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had lived only for what he could accumulate. His main goal in life was to become wealthy, and by doggy, he became wealthy. You know how he did it? He had cheated others to get ahead. Oh, he was a tax collector. Even the Jewish people didn't like him. But that's what he was. Well, one day, Zacchaeus was a little short guy, and he heard that Jesus was coming to town. Well, he said, maybe I'd like to see him. So, because he was small and the crowds was ahead of him, he crawled up on an old sycamore tree, and boy, happened. Zacchaeus was short, and we've all fallen short. And you know what? The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Don't look down your nose at other people because you say, well, you know, I don't like alcoholics, and I don't like homosexuals, and I don't like lesbians. Well, I'm going to tell you, friends, God doesn't love our sins either. But I'll tell you this, he loves you, a sinner. I don't care what you've done. You may have even murdered someone, but God loves you. And the only way to get rid of that sin is to fall upon your knees and cry out, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he will do just that. He'll save you. Write your name in the Lamb Book of Life, and he promises those of us who know him that someday we'll have a mansion. Oh, my stars in the morning. Hey, I don't know what a mansion looks like. I've never been in one. I sure never lived one on this earth. But boy, howdy, it's going to be good. The streets are even paved with gold. Can you imagine people cutting people's throat for gold on this earth? Well, up in heaven, it's just gravel. Oh, isn't God good? God called foolish Jonah, who tried to run away from him. Wasn't that dumb? Friends, you can't run from God. If you're living in deep sin, you can hide under every rock there is. And there's just no way that he can't see through that rock and see your sins. Sure he does. And Jonah really, he thought, well, I'll just outsmart God and I'll catch a ship and go the other way. But that was not in God's divine plan. He had a job for Jonah to do down in Nineveh. And bless your heart, he was going to get there if a fish had to swallow him. And that's exactly what happened. They threw him overboard, and old fish swallowed him, and for 3 days and three nights, he spent an awful night, couldn't sleep. Could you sleep with fish guts wound around your head? Stinking old gas in that fish's belly? Well, for 3 days he was in there, just like Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days. Then the fish said, I'm sick of you, you backslider, and he spit him out on the beach. Now, my stars, old Jonah, he took off like a herd of turtles. He's headed for Nineveh. He has a message from God. God has delivered him out of the fish's belly. Now, he's going to tell those folks what God wanted him to say. He could have done that in the first place instead of causing all that problem. You know, folks, many are still trying to run away from God, even for their salvation. Many people are trying to substitute baptism, church membership, Lord's Supper, for salvation. Well, beloved, it won't work. You can't even get into heaven by being good. In fact, the matter is more bad people go to heaven and more good people go to hell. Think about that. That sounds like a spiritual paradox, which it is. How foolish to think we can escape God's call. See, he called the foolish to wisdom and eternal life. Here's what is said in the 27th verse. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. God calls the weak. Man, when he called me, he didn't have much to work with. He had very little to work with. The only thing he had to work with is I was so happy that he delivered me from alcohol. And he started giving me work. My little business started picking up. And I found a wonderful church that loved us. And I went a wonderful Sunday school teacher who was a good teacher. And we had training union. And oh, there was so many wonderful things that I learned. The first year of my life, I learned a lot. I'm serious. I couldn't get out of that book. I stayed in the Bible. I called the preacher. I called the deacons. I called the Sunday school. I wanted to know, what does this mean? Well, they'd said, Cecil, I'll tell you. Didn't he call that old prodigal son and went out there? He was so weak. He was out of control. He was so weak, he squandered his inheritance. And he was so weak, he gave in to bad company. God has called the weak people to do mighty things. You know what, friends? You ever heard of D.L. Moody? I mean, most of you have. They're Christians. He was untrained. He was a shoe salesman, but brought thousands of people to Christ. Oh, he was something special. Mel Trotter was a drunkard in Chicago. On the streets of Chicago, bumming, begging, drinking, fighting. But you know what? God saved old Mel Trotter. He went about establishing rescue missions. Oh, was he mighty for God. Let me ask you this question. You think about it. Why does God use nobodies? But I'll tell you why. It shows his power to change lives. Thus people will see the miracle and turn to Christ. Now, God called the base and the despised in verse 28, and the base things of the world, the despised, God hath chosen the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are. Well, he called the woman at the well to reach her town. Oh, my stars, wasn't she something? She'd been married 5 times, and now she's shacking up. And he gave her the living water and quenched her spiritual thirst. You know what she did? She went back into town so happy. She said, I have found the Christ. He told me all the things that I've ever done. Oh, no, I want you to know, she brought others to find Jesus. People followed her because they knew she was an immoral woman. He called harlots and lepers to the amazement of the Pharisees. And he's still calling outcast to salvation because of what? Because of his love. You know, I almost every service, I almost always quote John 3:16, for God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting eternal life. Oh, friends, listen to me. One day after I was saved, I was driving downtown Seattle, and I started laughing out loud, just me in the car. And I knew that God had saved me. I had $5 in my billfold, and I wasn't going to a bar to spend it. Why? Because God delivered me. Oh, friends, he wants to deliver you too. And if you're an outcast, boy, this message is for you. Have you thought you were out of reach of God's love? Well, I sure did, because I didn't dream that God could love a person like me. And have you thought your sins were too serious to be forgiven? Wouldn't be a bit surprised you have. I know I did. But God is calling you to salvation and service. Let me ask you, will you respond to his loving call tonight? You say, Cecil, look, I've been a Christian 50 years. And you know, I never felt like I should have to go out and witness and do personal work. You didn't? Well, then you haven't been following Jesus. Because if you read this book, you can't get around it. There's no way in the world you can get around that not knowing that God has called you, a born-again believer, to tell others and witness for Christ. There's no way you can get around that. And you know what? I've said this so many times. If you've got a testimony, if you've been born again, and you know John 3:16, you've got enough equipment to reach for the world. And you know something I always tell people? The wages of sin is death. Oh, that's scary. But the gift of God is eternal life. Friends, this salvation is a gift. Can't earn it. Can't buy it. You have to accept it by faith. Now, Jesus stands with outstretched arms tonight and says, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you peace. I'll give you rest. You say, Cecil, I haven't had a good night's rest in 40 years. Have you been born again? Well, that's your problem. Come to Jesus, be born again, and let him do something for you. And you know, friends, he changes you from the inside out. He sure does. Now, he loves you tonight, and he wants to save you. And if you're not saved, I want you to do this. Pray the most powerful prayer ever prayed by man. Now listen, if it's just words, if there's no repentance, no godly sorrow in your heart, don't pray it, because it's just a bunch of words. But if you really are serious and you're sorry for your sins, I want you to pray this prayer. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll come into my heart tonight and save me for Jesus' sake. Amen. Beloved, if you did that, I want you to get on the phone and I want you to call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. And I don't care where you go to church. All I'm really concerned about is where are you going to spend eternity? This message was from my heart to your heart, and I hope that you'll respond.
Never was anyone like him. Never will one be the same. Tiny babe, infant King, Savior, we worship and honor the power of his name. Oh, he came special, delivering, thank you. the look on my face.
Well, friends, for the past 25 minutes, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Oh, friends, listen. If you're one of those old Christians that have been sitting back there jawing and jawing and complaining and moaning and groaning, come on up and come to the front and say, Jesus, I want to be used. Listen, if he can use a simple-minded boy like me, you're going to make it big. You know what? There is a call for every Christian's life. There's a call in every Christian's life. He wants to use you, but you know he wants to bless you. I tell you right now, there's a blessing in following Jesus. Well, friends, until this time next week, I want you to continue to pray for me and my wife and our quartet in prison, and also pray for my blood sugar. It'll continue to stay down. So until this time next Sunday night, be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet and keep looking up. Oh, this wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and God bless you real, real good.